Well, hey, webheads, webcasters, little Websters, little Emmanuel Lewises. Does that speak to anyone? Does anyone remember that? Welcome to the Amazing Spider Webcast. And today we're covering Amazing Fantasy 16. Now, of course, you know, Amazing Fantasy 15 is Spider-Man's big debut. And then after Amazing Fantasy 15, they kicked over to Amazing Spider-Man number one. It just now occurred to me that that might be why he's Amazing Spider-Man. They were like, let's keep the amazing in there. It's Amazing Fantasy 15. Also, I wonder if it's like, all right, kids, you're going to hear, Grandpa's going to talk for a minute. Back in the day, you know, you might wonder today why so many things are called like AAA plumbing, you know, or AA this, or A1 tailoring, or, you know, what the fuck, what other things can I think of? Back in the day when they had the yellow pages, you would look things up and it was like, you'd look up plumbers, right, as a category in the yellow page, and then it would have everything listed alphabetically. So people would list their plumber as A1 plumber because that came very early in the alphabet. So I wonder if there was any element of like Amazing Fantasy starts with an A. So if like a newsstand is putting comics in alphabetical order, I kind of can't imagine that they would bother to put comics in alphabetical order. That seems sort of crazy, right? Like that seems like more effort than anyone at a newsstand would go to for comics. Like they'd just be like, just throw that bullshit on the shelf and whatever. But it's possible. So anyway, I guess what happened is in late 1995, somebody decided, let's tell the story of what happened between Amazing Fantasy 15 and Amazing Spider-Man number one. Let's wedge a story in there. Now, I know I had said in the last episode that there's a series called Untold Tales of Spider-Man where they did this. And I was like, that was such a good idea. And I thought that was really fun. But also I remember those being well written and enjoyable. And this, we could get to it, right? We could get to what happens and how I feel about it. But I think it's an idea or something that at the moment I'm not as big a fan of the execution, because it does feel a little bit like, you know how there's kind of this thing right now of like, let's get the backstory of everything. You know what I mean? It's like, well, we have to find out how Boba Fett, what Mandalorian armor is. How could we go on without knowing that it's made of some kind of weird metal that's maybe also a mummy, and then they melt it into armor and that's like what they do, and they never take their health, you know, all this shit. How could we have gone through life never knowing all these things? So, you know, and to a certain extent, I feel like this book plays in that sandbox a little bit more than I like, but let's just get into it. So, okay, first thing I want to tell you is we have an extremely short bookend. So we have the first page and the last page shows us a superhero who appears to have some kind of maybe Magneto powers or lightning powers or something and can fly. And in the first page, he destroys a bunch of mailboxes. And on the last page, he's like lifting a bulldozer or something with, you know, pink magic force powers or something. He appears to be an urban youth, although I cannot tell, you know, anything about his race or whatever. But it's weird because he's in the very first and very last page and has zero presence or effect on the rest of the story. So I found it strange because it's like they want to foreshadow that this is happening, but they're doing it in such a weird way of like, why wouldn't you put him in the middle somewhere, or like have Spider-Man stumble across something, or, you know, why wouldn't you have, okay, one of the destroyed mailboxes that he destroyed for no reason? Why couldn't those have been, you know, the Parkers? And they're like, oh, Not only is Uncle Ben dead, but our mailbox got melted or struck by lightning. How unlucky can a guy get? You know what I mean? Anyway, we cut to my favorite character in the book, the agent who was booking Spider-Man on TV shows and stuff like that, and is desperately trying to find Spider-Man because he's... So as we know, you know, as Uncle Ben was killed and he was like, oh man, I was being like a selfish TV clown. Well, that needs to come to a stop. But this guy doesn't know any of that. You know, with great power comes great responsibility. It wouldn't have killed Spidey to just like hit up a payphone and give this guy a call and be like, hey, I'm not coming back. You know what I mean? Quit your job. I mean, it's fine to quit a job, but yeah, it's nice to do it responsibly. You guys want to hear my favorite all-time job quitting that I was witness to? Okay, I've told this story many times, but I'm sure there's someone listening who has not heard it. So I had a very temporary job at a phone center, and we were supposed to be troubleshooting these Polaroid digital cameras. Now, this was probably in like 1999 or something like that. And these Polaroid cameras were like $25. So incredibly cheap, even for the time. And basically, the tech support that we were supposed to do, people would call in because there was a number on it. And it's like, if something's not working or whatever. And it became very apparent that everyone was going to be calling in because the camera took shitty pictures. And they'd be like, the pictures are all blurry and whatever. And we weren't supposed to tell them, for example, well, you bought a $25 digital camera. What did you expect in 1999? We were supposed to be like, huh, well, let's try this, you know, let's try that. And, you know, so we would be on the phone and try things like we'd say, oh, maybe the cable, the chart or the transfer cable is bad. So we're going to order you a new cable, you know, or one of the tricks I employed many times, which they suggested was to tell people to defragment their hard drive, which I don't even know if that's a thing people do anymore, but, and I don't know what it actually did. It's that was definitely the 1999, have you cleared your cookies? You know what I mean? And you're like, I really don't think that's the problem. Defragmenting your hard drive was like not the problem with your Polaroid digital camera taking shitty pictures. But it would take hours. If they had never done it before, especially which no one had done it before, it could take like 12 hours. And so that, you know, basically if you told them to do that and you're like, do that, give us a call back if it doesn't work, you know, bye. It was almost guaranteed that, you know, by the time they called back, you wouldn't be there. And plus it was a call center. So it was like randomly assigned calls. So like your chances were pretty good of not having to deal with that person again. Anyway, so the way it worked was like we went to this phone center over Christmas break, right? And we were working over Christmas break, which kind of sucked. Like I didn't realize how much it sucked right at first because you're like, oh, I'm not in school. And it's like, well, we'll make some money. And we were making like $10 an hour, which is an obscene amount of money at that time. You know, it was like twice what I made at McDonald's or whatever. So, but pretty much from the beginning, the plan amongst me, my older brother, and our friend Travis was to quit after the first week. Because week one was all training. And then week two is when we actually had to start like working in the phone center. So we planned to just do the training week, which was paid, of course, and then quit immediately following the training. So the last day of the training, and you know, that way we'd make some money, but we'd still have a Christmas break. We'd still have some time off and so on and so forth. So the last day of training, you take like some kind of test. And I remember the person who was running the training was like, here's the test. It really doesn't matter what you do on this. Like, don't worry about it because we're going to pass everyone because we just need human people on the phone. Like, doesn't matter if you don't know what the hell you're talking about. And it's like all these things I'm telling you now, it's like, if you didn't know why tech support was shitty before, now you know. So we take the test and we're walking out. And I was like, well, I think I'm going to call in tonight and quit, you know? And my friend Travis was like, I'm not even calling in, you know, I'm just not, he's just going to ghost. And I was like, you can't do that, man. You got to call and tell him you quit. And he's like, I really don't. I could just not show up. And I was like, yeah, he's not wrong. And as we're walking out, my older brother is like, I already quit. And I was like, what are you talking about? Because we'd been in the same classroom the whole time. And I was like, when did you quit? When did you talk? I didn't see you talk to anybody. And he was like, I just wrote on my test that I had an illness and I was getting exponentially sicker and would no longer be able to work there. I remember exponentially sicker being the phrase. And I was like, that's fucking crazy. You just wrote it on the test and turned it in. And she said they're probably not even going to look at them. You know, they're not going to grade them or anything. So do you think they'll even see it? And he was just kind of like, not my problem. Everyone else, I was, you know, me, Peter, was the Peter Parker of this situation being responsible. But they were both the Peter Parker of Amazing Fantasy 16, quitting in the most irresponsible way possible. Anyway, so we have Spider-Man's agent who's like trying to figure out like what the hell happened to Spider-Man? Where is he? I need him back, blah, blah, blah. We cut to a TV show. They're showing something about the Fantastic Four and Peter Parker and Aunt May are watching it. And they have a number you can call. It's like, did you see something amazing? Call 555-8574. You know, and they're like, the Baxter building like levitated into the sky and the Fantastic Four are missing. And now we've been introduced to Namor the Submariner. And they're like, did you see something awesome? Call this number. I'm like, if I had a show like It's Amazing at the time of the dawn of the Marvel Universe, that would be a very lucky time to have that. Or like if you ran the weekly world news and you're like, oh, let's make up some shit about Batboy. And then you're like, there's a Spider-Man. You know, it would be very like weird, you know, conspiracy X-Files shit would suddenly become mainstream news in a weird way, right? So anyway, they're watching this fucking show. And then we get like two pages of flashback explaining to us Amazing Fantasy 15, the events of Amazing Fantasy 15, which was a point when I was like, come on, guys, because I did feel like we know. All right. We know if we're picking up Amazing Fantasy 16, we are aware of the events of, you know, 30 years ago or whatever. And I hated it. I was like, we're doing the origin. Then we cut to Uncle Ben's funeral, which I guess we never really saw in the comics. And I noticed Peter Parker and Aunt May are the only people at the funeral, which I found sort of hard to believe because I was like, Uncle Ben seemed like a nice guy, seemed like he would be well liked. He probably had a job of some kind. You know what I mean? Like, I would think someone would be there who knew him. And it made me think, you know, I was in a writing workshop one time. And one of the people leading it was like, when I critique a story, I like to talk about it in terms of opportunities and like, what is an opportunity that was maybe missed or something like that? And like in this comic, there's a missed opportunity here, which is like, we could have got a bunch of stories about Uncle Ben from people at the funeral. You know what I mean? I know it's like more emo and Peter Parker frowning and there's no one there and it's in the rain. And, you know, Aunt May has one of those like veils on that looks like it's made out of like fishnet stockings or whatever. Because apparently that implies grief. You're like, if I cover my eyes with this sexy fishnet. But I feel like there's more meat on that, on the other bone, right? Of like, well, if a whole bunch of people were there and Peter Parker was like, I didn't really realize, you know, how much he meant to so many people. And then it turns into a guilt trip of like all these people and they're all so sad. And, you know, I could have prevented this anyway. But they didn't do that. Peter Parker goes to school And, you know, Liz Allen talks to him and is like, I'm sorry about your uncle. And is your aunt okay? And, you know, Peter Parker's sad. And then some asshole kids are like, come on, Liz, don't talk to that nerd. And this kid, he's like, you'll catch geek syndrome talking to Parker, Liz. I mean, sure, it's too bad the old guy got croaked, but this is puny Parker, remember? The poster child for Nerds Unlimited. It did follow Amazing Fantasy 15, and like the kids are being real dicks. You know what I mean? Like, if somebody's dad or basically dad died and got shot, you know what I mean? In their home, and you're like, I don't know. I feel like that would buy a pretty nerdly nerd at least a little reprieve in high school, especially. You know what I mean? I don't know. Maybe if you're in middle school, it'd be like, oh, fuck that. But in high school, come on. Anyway, Peter Parker sees a newspaper that Flash Thompson has because it's like, attention, Spider-Man, please contact. And it's the agent, basically. And he's taking out a huge ad and is like, for the love of God, contact me, please. I need you. And then we cut back to his office, which is like, and a bunch of people have shown up in, you know, what look like Power Ranger costumes and shitty Spider-Man costumes, whatever, all claiming to be Spider-Man. This is the other big missed opportunity in this book. Because, like, I'm enjoying this agent character, and he's just like, what about my responsibility to make a dollar off of this? But, like, we could have had an awesome scene here, an awesome sequence that's like, you remember the part in RoboCop 2 when they have like all the other attempts to make a RoboCop and they're all fuck ups. You know what I mean? The one like pulls its helmet off and it's just a skull, or like the other one just shoots itself. You know, all this kind of shit. That's what we could have had here. We could have had like an audition of several pathetic or crazy Spider-Men. You know what I mean? I feel like that was that's what we missed here. Okay. Then we cut to Aunt May is at home and Peter Parker comes in and there's a guy talking to her. And this guy is like, basically like, here's what happened. Ben ordered a bedroom set, like new furniture for the bedroom. And it was going to be a surprise for you, I guess, for an anniversary or for something. I don't really know. And he paid the deposit on it and they're going to deliver it tomorrow. And he's like, now, I understand what happened and it's a tragedy and whatever. And so if you want, I can't give you the deposit back, but I could tell them not to deliver the furniture and you wouldn't have to pay the rest of it, the other half or whatever. And of course, you know, May is kind of like, it was his last gift for me. We have to do it. You know, we have to buy it. We'll have to come up with the money. I don't want to not get the, you know, last gift he got for me. Very like, John Wick's wife getting him a puppy, right? It was the last thing she got for him. Somehow she got him a puppy from beyond the grave. So, you know, he got this furniture for you from beyond the grave. Bedroom set, which I found a little awkward. I understand, but also there's something I just was like, was this for Aunt May and Uncle Ben schmanging in the bed? Is that what we're talking about here? But it's fine. You know, they don't want their old creaky bed. They want a new bed that maybe could tilt them into exciting positions. So then, you know, Peter Parker is like frustrated about everything. He goes web swinging and is like, oh my gosh, you know, this, I feel so much better like web swinging. And then we see the same furniture salesman talking to a guy, you know, Spider-Man just happens across him talking to this guy. And he's like, you know, your wife, right before she died, ordered you this easy chair and, you know, is saying the same thing. And so then Parker is like, Mr. Peter Parker is like, I don't feel close enough to him to call him Parker or Peter or Spider-Man or Spidey, Mr. Spider-Man. Maybe when we're a few more issues in, I'll be like, okay, I can just call him Peter. But obviously he's like, something seems amiss here. Which I was like, I mean, yeah, duh. Unless this guy just has the worst luck as a furniture delivery / salesman. And it's just like, I cannot fucking believe this keeps happening. I'm like a cursed salesman. So he follows the salesman back to some fucking warehouse where it's a bunch of guys running different scams on the phone, mostly related to people who are widows and widowers. And whatever the gender neutral term for a widowed person is. And so, and then they, you know, the mastermind behind it is a guy who calls himself the Undertaker, who looks like a fucking creep with black gloves on, you know, which that all fits. And he has a very funny conversation that I enjoyed. Okay, he's on the phone with someone. And he says, "Ah, good to hear from you, of course. We offer complete service from death to disposal you select on the dear one. We'll see that he becomes departed, pardon the witticism. There's the small matter of our fee for services. Ah, yes, that will be quite acceptable." Now, I thought this was so weird because it's like, I would think if I called someone to kill somebody for me, that, you know, they would lead with the price. I wouldn't even know if I feel comfortable. I don't feel comfortable negotiating prices on things. I visited, my brother was in the Peace Corps in Morocco, and like, you know, in the market there, that's like the way it's done, is like you negotiate. They never tell you the price and then you just pay it. They, you know, they tell you a ridiculous price. You pretend you're walking away. Then they're like, okay, for you, you know, I'll do this, my friend, and whatever. And, you know, you do this whole game. And like, there were a couple times when I was in there and I just bought, I bought this like hat or something. And it was like, the guy set a price and I just gave him the money. And he looked at me and he was like holding the money and just looked at me and then looked at my brother. Like, he's like, what is wrong with this guy? Because he's like, what? This is not how this is supposed to work. So anyway, I'm not like a wheel and dealing guy. So I would do especially poorly, I think, if I was calling to arrange a murder and be like, well, I don't know what, I have no concept of what a fair market price is for that. But also I would have no concept of whether or not that's like something you really negotiate about. You know what I mean? Anyway, and Spider-Man has a big fight with all the goons in the warehouse. And, you know, we get sort of origin of Spidey sense. He's like, oh, it's like there's bees buzzing in my head. Like I have some sort of spider sense, you know? And I'm like, okay, here we are. That's more stuff that I'm like, I don't know that we need this. You know what I mean? I feel like this has been covered many, many times in the comics throughout the years. We also kind of get his sort of beginning of his bantering, you know, and making little jokes and stuff. And I was kind of hoping to see like, and this is another thing that has come up in the comics many times that I'm like, I don't know if I need another, you know, he's like, what am I doing? Why am I talking like this? Or, you know, I sound confident right now, but I am not. And I don't need that. I don't need an excuse for why he's making little quips and jokes. And it's like, well, he's doing it because it's a fucking comic book. So it's not very entertaining to just look at a picture of someone leaping around. Like, yeah, put a joke in there. But I would like to see an early version of Spider-Man who's like not good at the jokes, right? Maybe he needs an improv class or something. So then, you know, he beats up all the guys in the warehouse and he's like, that was great. You know, I would like him to have to work to get a little funnier. He's like, no one laughs at my jokes, you know, and like, maybe I could take a head over to Second City or something and get funnier. He beats up some guy who's trying to steal some other guy's wallet. And then Aunt May sees that the scam guy was busted. And she's like, oh, I was so stupid, you know, to fall for that. But, you know, I don't know. I fell for it in the initial part of the comic. I was like, I didn't think that was a scam. Maybe this is like a famous scam from like the 1960s or something like that. I think it's like maybe you could get away with a scam like that today because it would be so much. It's so much more work than like an email phishing scam, right? Like trying to get some person some grandma's password. So you can like get into her email and try and get into her bank account or something. That's where everyone's expecting it to come from. Then I come out from the side with an old school analog scam about bedroom furniture that's actually not very good furniture and, you know, overcharging them. And it's like, for each time I've pulled this scam, I made a cool $150. You know, once you subtract, I did have to buy some kind of furniture, and then I had to deliver it. And, you know, that's a huge pain in the ass. And then it was an old lady, so she kind of asked us if we'd assemble it. And I did, and she paid us $25 to assemble it, but it still took me like an hour. So, you know, that's kind of a wash. But anyway, you know, I'm making a not decent living. I'm making a sub-minimum wage living doing a scam. But I guess on the plus, at least I'm scamming people. That's something, right? So anyway, then they're like, you know, Peter Parker is asking Aunt May about Uncle Ben and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, they're just talking about him. And I'm like, see, we could have just done this. And then we end on, done this at the funeral. And then we end on the urban youth with magic powers. It kind of looks like Magneto powers, lifting a bulldozer with his mind or hand. His hand is glowing and a similar glow is around the bulldozer as it levitates up on top of a building under construction, which is kind of funny, right? Like, I do like to imagine a superhero that's like, or, you know, a villain, but you're like, I mean, he's not really a super villain. He's just doing things that are fucking annoying. You know what I mean? He put a bulldozer up on top of a building under construction. Kind of a dick move. It made things inconvenient for us, but it's not like a problem per se. So there you go. That's Amazing Fantasy 16 from the 90s. I don't know if I'd call it an amazing fantasy, but, you know, it was a fantasy, I suppose, in as much as any comic book is a fantasy. Well, next time we'll be at Amazing Fantasy 17, the continuation of this story, and on the cover of which we've got a Spider-Man and the Magneto-ish guy seems to be enveloping him in a ball of purple energy. So, you know, we've got that to look forward to. You know, put that in your excitement part of your brain. What part do you think that? I have no idea. I don't know anything about brain science. All right, we'll see you next time. He climbs a tree just like a vine.